All right, ready to go here. Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition Hour. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz. Ready for Action, Halloween Action.
A ghastly, ghoulish hour. What do we have? We got some stuff up.
We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. The Toronto Maple Leafs drop a 4-3 overtime decision to the Boston Bruins at TD Garden. Ghastly. As they head into Winnipeg, where they are unbeaten in 8-0-0. And as I look at our set, as we get ready for Halloween, I can't help but look at this skeleton to the left of me and think, that's a Leaf fan right now.
That's the last Leaf fan to have been happy.
You know what that actually is? That's the memory of Monday night against Tampa. That's what that is. That's, I mean, the goodwill from Monday.
Last Monday, we came in a week ago today, and boy, was it a different day. Fresh off, no, not even fresh off the Tampa. They played them.
They played them on Monday last Amazon game. They beat the, I guess it would have been they beat. Oh, they lost to the Rangers, but a good effort.
Good game, yeah.
And then they beat Tampa.
What a week since. Tonight. What a week since.
I can't ever recall seeing, like, okay, I get it, right? You're jaded as a Leaf fan every year. And then over the course of whatever you need to kind of get over, and then there's going to be some optimism, but it's over a stretch. I don't think I've ever seen it go from one week to another so quickly.
It's like that Red Bull high dive guy, the guy who jumped out of like space, straight drop.
Something Baumgartner, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah. But no, it has been a free fall, Tom Petty free fall over the course of the week.
Okay, so. Where were you on Saturday night after the game? Because, and we'll get into what we saw, but I saw a winnable game for the Toronto Maple Leafs Saturday night.
I will say often, and when the Leafs are like kicking the crap out of a team, you'll be like, this team's terrible. But they weren't even kicking the crap out of Boston, but you still felt pretty consistently like that was not a good Bruins team.
No. And I thought they've got some issues. Speed for me is an issue. A little slow on the back end for me is an issue with the Boston Bruins. Swayman looked pretty darn good, though.
Yeah.
And much like Stolarz has, I thought it was kind of toe-to-toe there, but Swayman ended up making one or two bigger saves. And was that the difference?
Just two 96-point teams duking it out, in your opinion, or what?
I thought that was a sign for me that the Leafs could go in there and still find a way to get 2 points. Even going in overtime, you felt like the Leafs find ways.
Yeah. Like
they're one of the best teams in the league the last 2 years when pulling a goalie, going 6-on-5. And like, I don't know what Boston was thinking. Like, the most dangerous player is
just
going down
through
200 feet, full steam ahead, and you've got nobody near him.
No. Go ahead.
You're going to give Tavares credit for the pass?
Play.
The pass that Tavares made
and
opened
the one
up
that
the
Marner
whole thing.
Makes. Maybe one of the best passes I've seen Tavares
100%.
Make in like years.
Full cross ice and all of a sudden things opened up and the Bruins got stretched and, you know, give him and Mitch Marner the puck and the D is stretched. He's going to find a seam. So beautiful goal. But yeah, the problem was for most of that game, it felt like that over-reliance on the first line was back. And I'll give you the analogy of, like, what I see Craig Berube and even Tree Living going through a little bit is, like, you know when you lose something and you're looking at all these different spots in the house and you can't find it, and then you ask someone else, hey, have you seen this? And they go look in the exact same spots first. Like, right. Oh, have you tried here? Have you tried there? They're doing all the same things. We have the answers. It's like they haven't seen it yet.
Buddy, that's my everyday in the fridge. It's like, it's not here. The ketchup's not here.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, the ketchup's there.
Right. But this is the thing. Like, I'm watching
in
Berube
the analogy,
go through the same.
Yes, ketchup isn't there.
The ketchup isn't there. I'm watching Berube go through this and be like, what if we tried Tavares with Nylander? And it's like, we did this. I know you weren't here, but we've done this. The Leafs have done this. What about if we do Riley off the first power play? We've tried it. We've tried it.
Do you want to thought in before we go to listen to Craig Berube?
I think that game was closer to Blues and Blue Jackets than people will think it was. Like, there was long stretches in that game where...
Yes.
Like, listen. The Leafs have amazing skill, and it showed out with Marner. Was unbelievable. 3 assists. Matthews scores. You know, Nye scores one. But there was long stretches of that game of blah, of nothing.
No, the third period, buddy.
It was brutal.
The third period alone was like... They didn't deserve a point.
No way.
But Boston kept it still winnable for them is my point that I had off the top. That somehow, some way, they could have ended up still with 2 points. But what did they have? 2 shots on goal when the game mattered? And then, they pulled the goalie and they find a way to get a point.
Mm-hmm.
But
they got a lot of guys who aren't, you know, beyond that top line. Who it's like, you're waiting. They're back to playing Nylander 18 minutes. And it's like, this is a guy who needs to play to be in the game. We've done this.
All right. Go to a Kippers Clipper.
We're about to do
to it start
again.
Off our week on a head-scratching Craig Berube overview.
Yeah, it was a tight game. You know, we battled back and got the tying goal. So it's a good hard-fought point. There's things we can do better. And a couple of mistakes in the second period, you know, we just got to clean those up.
Pretty.
Habits take time to break.
I don't think he's holding them to a high enough standard.
Hard fought point. It's just a Babcock era Leafs kind of.
He's used to being on middling teams, and this is a middling team.
I do find it a little perplexing that he could call a timeout earlier in the season when they were up 5-1 or 5-2 and send a message.
Yeah.
But we haven't got really any message sending since then.
What was the meme you showed me before?
About the Sheldon Keefe thing?
Yeah.
About like the Scooby-Doo meme where it just pulls off the mask and it's actually Sheldon Keefe.
Does it feel like a Sheldon Keefe team right now? Because of what you're talking about with
It feels like an early Sheldon Keefe team when he was learning that you had to play Nylander to get him engaged and, you know, Tavares and Nylander don't work and that, like, it does feel like a Keefe team, just an early version of them.
Or does it just feel like maybe it's just the Leafs, you know?
Well, maybe it's this core.
This group of guys. Like, I don't know who it was that tweeted out, but their starts over the last 9 games every year. I think outside of, was it last year? They're 4-4-1 every start of every season.
Yeah, 5-3-1 last year. Way to go.
So it's like they always have these weird, slow starts. It's just,
now,
do you have, with the new coach, the ability to pull out of it and get hot? Right. Like, I'm sure they will, but... It's a weird thing that they always start like this.
But you said specifically that, you know, there would be some adjustment period with the new coach and that you wouldn't expect them to look great right out of the gates and that they suspected a slow start.
And they did look great out of the gate.
That's why it feels weird.
Right, and that's why it feels weird.
And it's tougher to say 4-4-1 after 9 games. I could have seen it. You would have said I could see it.
If they would have gone through what they're going through now to start, I'd have a better understanding that it's going to take time and that they haven't got the mindset to play the way the coach wants them to play. But because we kind of watched them jump the shark against Tampa Bay.
They ran it up in New Jersey. They beat up on L.A. They played great against the Rangers.
And they did it the way he wanted it done.
And we said, I think they're different.
And he did it the way that you would go, that could work in the playoffs.
Yeah, that for sure.
That's the difference.
I still feel like they have something a little different that could work in the playoffs just based on Tanev and OEL helping in the back end and their depth forwards are a little more playoff, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's just so lackluster right now. He just does not like Bobby McMahon, eh? Is he at 8.5 minutes or something on Saturday?
Yeah. So the play that happened, he kind of got benched after, or not kind of, did get benched after. Was the one Myers throws it up along the dasher. As you both know, one of the hardest plays in hockey, bounce off a stick, lands in the net.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bad play. He's a player that he's trying to, but it's not like he's a 21-year-old guy, right? No. Like, he's a big, strong guy. He's supposed to be, but he's talked about him today. Like, he just seems like it's a project for him, but I don't know.
What Berube clips do you want to prioritize here? Because I do want to hear him on McMahon, but...
You know, you brought up McMahon. Let's go to clip 11 because he does speak of
and what he talked to him about.
Just like every shift is important, and you know every situation is important, and just more urgency in his game, and you know I think he can be a lot more physical than he is. You know, it's he gives it physicality in the skating. You can see the you know the power there and stuff, but it needs some more consistency.
That's interesting.
He could be talking to 14 guys for me.
Yeah.
Not just Bobby McMahon.
Yeah. That's interesting because it's almost like he's decided that this is what McMahon should be. And if McMahon is going to be anything different, he's not going to have it. My college roommate was 6'4", and both coaches I had in university just wanted him to be a physical guy, mm-hmm. not a physical guy. Mm-hmm. Great player. Mm-hmm. Great player, but just wasn't the guy the coaches want him to be. And then they take away ice time or opportunity because you're not that guy.
So what's the problem? They're trying to get blood out of a stone?
Right. I don't think McMahon's a killer. I don't think he's... Yeah, he can hit some guys and knock them over, but I don't think Berube's going to... Maybe he will. Maybe this is what he needs to do, but...
So, outside of the Bobby McMahon conversation, I think one of the conversations we had a lot over the past few seasons with these slow starts, because we've been on for a lot of these slow starts, and we've had a lot of different conversations over the start of them. Like, are you both confident in the fact that this is going to get hot and take off and the Leafs are going to be amongst the best teams again? I'm asking you guys if you're confident in that, because I don't think I've been confident in years past and it's made me look like an idiot. So maybe I'll say that I am confident, but I think I'd be lying if I said that. Kipper.
I'm confident.
You're confident.
Yeah. I do have concerns.
I'm not as confident as I was a few years ago, meaning that, like, under normal circumstances, Sammy, you could look at this roster and say, as is, why not another 100 points, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Is it that much different from years past? Stolarz came out of the gate. Can he give him the type of goaltending along with Joseph Woll eventually that gets them in the same place that they've been the last 4 or 5 years?
The death march to playing Tampa?
Yeah.
I usually say yes, but... after watching about a week into it, I think it's a 50-50 coin toss whether or not this team could still, you know, I think they've got the talent, the offensive talent to do it again, mm-hmm. but I'm just not sure where the complete mindset in, and at least you knew what it was, and Sheldon bought into that, and Kyle bought into that. Now you got a Craig Berube coming in, and he completely wants to turn this thing around. And if it's old habits that are hard to break and they find themselves wanting to play more in the East and West game, now there's a little bit of a tug of war going.
For sure there is.
And in the past, there was no tug of war.
No, everyone's on the same page.
We're going to go out there and outskill them and we'll win 6-5.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to be one of the best teams. When we pull our goalie and we need a goal, we'll get a goal.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point,
I don't know where the tug of war is. I don't know. I've been on enough teams where if some star players don't really like the dump and chase or go in there and hit, then chances are you'll hold my attention for a week, maybe 10 days, 2 weeks. But I don't know if I can do that for 82 games.
I think McMahon might be the proxy for this war. He's the guy who would love to carry the puck and drive and do the Sheldon Keefe stuff, and I wonder if he's become the proxy for that war.
But I'm not even worried about him. I'm worried about Willie and, you know.
For sure.
Maybe That's even Austin. Maybe even Austin.
Yeah. Like, right? Like can we bend Berube to our will a bit rather than the opposite?
Where are those guys? Like you mentioned off the top, Willie Nylander's minutes are down.
Down 2 minutes a game.
PK in. Now is he on the first or second unit on the power play?
Oh, he doesn't kill at all anymore.
Doesn't kill at all anymore. And now he's going to catch the tail end of 40 or 50 seconds if that first unit come off.
This is going to kill Berube. Nylander's one of the guys that makes your team special. You're going to play him 18 minutes in PP2, no special teams? That's not use. Playing your good players less is not the answer.
How does he react to that?
But you're right. I think we have a bit of a struggle here between the players saying, I think we'll do it a bit our way as well. We liked your ideas. And, we're going to play it a bit our way, though.
Just going back to last week at Tampa Bay, like, Berube can go back to them and say, hey, why did it work against one of your rivals mm-hmm. last Monday? like, I got proof in the pudding right now. Let's go pull the tape out. Mm-hmm. And let's watch. And watch when you finish checks. And Bobby McMahon had a big hit in the corner. And watch the domino effect. And watch the energy in the building, for God's sake.
Kip, we talked about this, where it felt like at a certain point, maybe it was the Columbus game, where it's like, can you do, it was on a back-to-back, where it's like, can you play that way Berube wants him to over and over and over?
That. We said that.
We did say
even
that.
Before the bad.
Yeah.
Can you do it over, you know, in February and March?
They came out with that first date effort and energy, and then eventually said, let's just see if we can get away with a couple, because that's really hard to do 82 times.
So that's
times.
The difference.
Couple ghosts of a couple texts. We don't need to, you know, like, I'll sneak in a couple ghosts
here. But I do feel like this helps in playoffs like that. I think that maybe they would be, I still see that it's there.
So that goes back to your question. I was just going to end up seeing a 100-point team that can still get into the playoffs quite comfortably, but then be in a position of what are you going to see style of play? Style of play, that is the big thing for me.
But then is Berube missing this opportunity when they're not doing it his way to give the caller a tug and say,
so
yeah,
isn't,
we are.
Isn't a better example than Bobby McMahon, Willie Nylander?
It is. Yeah, it is. You're
like,
right.
The good news for Mitch Marner is, nobody can blame him Saturday night.
No, he was awesome.
Yeah, I shouldn't play him 26 minutes. And
played 26 minutes, though. Like, that's not awesome.
It's too much.
It's not. And again, it's very Sheldon-like, right?
Yeah, it is.
26.
This is what I'm saying. We're looking in the same places. We know it's not there. Like,
and that's Craig Berube going, I get it, Sheldon. He's the most reliable guy on my team. It's not Willie. And it's not Austin. It's Marner Saturday night. Killing penalties.
Yeah.
What did Matthew every play? He had to have played 25.
24, but yeah. He's still 2 minutes behind Marner.
Yeah.
That tells me everything you need to know about the Sheldons and the Craig Berubes of the world when it comes to number 16.
Hey, he is a great hockey player. A tremendous hockey player. And coaches recognize that they can trust him out there. There's no doubt about that. He's a super valuable guy. It's just, we've done this, and it's not the answer. We've seen playoffs with him. We know what happens. We know where this goes.
So
we can't go the same
way. Marner, 26 minutes, to Willie,
18,
and Willie makes $700,000 more than Mitch?
What are you doing, kid?
No, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
What are you telling us?
I'm telling you that it's a problem. That's what I'm telling you. It's an issue.
So, we've pretty much called this, though, from the start with Berube and Willie, that if there was ever going to be a situation that this was going to happen with Willie and Berube, and that if there's one guy that's going to butt heads, like, we've been all over this, too.
It's the old Austin Powers. It's a power struggle.
Right? All you do is just, my point is, there's a guy that needs a new contract, right?
Okay.
I don't know. Kind of easy in negotiation. I play 26, he plays 18.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people would like to see him go play 26 somewhere else.
Hey, listen, that's an argument for another day discussion for another day. And yeah. I'm not here to debate that at all. And, you know, at the end of the day, maybe 16 agrees with you too.
You know, I noticed this doesn't come up very often when he plays terribly, which has happened this year several times.
Listen, he has stunk on a few occasions.
A few occasions, for
okay?
sure. Yeah.
I stink. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you right now, if Mitch Marner coughed up the puck like your captain 34 did Saturday night, it's the whole world's blowing up on him.
For sure.
Again.
I think there's a whole
34 does it? Yeah. Did it even get mentioned Saturday night? What a horrific giveaway that was.
Yes,
Marner. Of course.
Every person in Toronto mentioned it.
I did a 35-minute post-game show and talked about it for 5 minutes top.
But there's like no, that's not even close to if Mitch or even to a lesser degree Willie did it.
Yeah, I think that it's a reflection of public sentiment of those players.
I think it's a reflection of a market that's kind of coddled Austin Matthews a little bit. Hey, he's been pretty well.
But like, how does a market coddle anyone? Like, I feel like he has signed contracts early and easily.
Yes.
And it's
there you
like,
go. Easily.
Like,
easily.
Yeah. And so everyone's like, okay, this guy seems to want to be a part of this.
And now he's got a little bit of adversity.
Yeah.
And now he's going to have to, he's going to have to work hard now.
For sure.
He's going to have to kind of dig himself out of it.
I think everyone is fairly disillusioned with the whole package.
I got to tell you, I don't think this is purely Marner here, Kep, for the past 9 games. I think this is the whole kit and caboodle. I think this is from...
It's always... My point is, it's always been the whole kit and caboodle, okay? But it's easy
the same
to blame 16 the most when it's all of them. And are you going to hear and debate that, that the share of blames in the last few years has always gone with the four of them?
No.
Who's,
no.
Who's taking the brunt of it the most?
Marner's definitely taking the brunt of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well deserved or not well deserved?
At times well deserved.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I,
little from column A, little from column B.
He leads the team in scoring. He plays the most minutes,
but not from game 5 to 7. We've done this a million times. We're getting bogged down.
Okay.
It's like not from game, not in the biggest games. He hasn't. That's
now, to me,
where people get pissed.
You know, you're the captain. You're going into Winnipeg. He's got
just to me. Like, what are we even talking about right now? Like, why? We're relitigating Marner's value versus Matthews' value like every damn day.
We're not. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't get. Doesn't get picked up, right? And it's part of the problem.
But it's this, like, hurt feelings that Matthews doesn't get treated. It's two teens. It's two
hurt
kids.
Feelings.
And going to their parents and saying, he got a bigger piece of cake
about,
than I did.
It's not about hurt feelings. It's about, like, Matthews has got to start owning it a little bit. When that guy, it's everything falls from the top to the bottom in a dressing room. That guy needs to own it more. The moment that it gets acknowledged that, you know, he's got to be better, and that includes the head coach right now, Berube. Start with Matthews or start with Willie, not McMahon. Go make them an example first, okay?
Absolutely, and this is why it's like I'm disappointed that the accountability coach hasn't done any accountability so far. That was supposed to be the non-Sheldon change, right? Like, this is the guy who's going to come in and grab these guys by the collar, rough and tough. Matthews is going to win a Selke this year. It's like, God, have you ever seen him look worse defensively in some of these games?
No, but I think some of the accountability, quote unquote, I mean, if you win, the guy that you just signed to a massive contract at the peak of his powers is playing 2 minutes less a game, that's some accountability, I would say. I'd say that's a guy that he doesn't trust defensively and he's playing less, and like that's a pretty big sign of accountability.
Yeah, then, to me, that's misuse, but I get your
point. Okay. But you're overplaying other guys. Like, it's just like Marner was good on Saturday night, but you don't need to play him 26 minutes. Like, they're them on the penalty kill.
But
they're
if they don't play him 26, maybe it's worse.
Yeah, but
I don't disagree. I think it maybe probably it's worse. Is.
Well, I mean,
there's
if it's
nothing behind those guys right
if it's
now.
Wall or Hildeby, that game could have been 8-2. So, you know, Stoller's made a bunch of unbelievable saves in that, including robbing Marchand in overtime before he dug it in.
Yeah.
So,
okay, power play. Mm. Let's go there because still a major issue here. Where are you on the two units now going into Winnipeg?
So we got Knies with Matthews and Marner. Where is the other unit? So it's Matthews, here. Marner, Riley, Pacioretty, and Tavares. Is that right?
Here, I'll read it out to
all
you.
All right, let's have it.
It's the PP1 is Morgan Riley at the top.
Yeah.
Marner, Matthews, Max Pacioretty, and Matthew Knies.
And Knies, okay.
And PP2 is Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Willie Nylander, Max Domi, Bobby McMahon, and Tavares.
They're trying it. They're trying something different. And that's the one place where it's like, have you looked in this place? We haven't looked in this place.
This is a new nook of the home that we haven't searched for your wallet.
Yes. So I'm fine with it.
Who's first over the boards?
I mean, PP1. Matthews and Marner.
Anything with Matthews and Marner.
Anything with Matthews and Marner is your first.
He talked about it today, clip 9, on splitting up the power plays.
Well, yeah, it's all about results, right, for the most part. And, you know, we're not getting them, so we got to try something different and a little bit more direct. This should make it a little bit more direct, the power play. And, you know, it's about getting, you know, it's about getting action at the net more. We need to get more action at the net. And good net front, strong guys at the net that can win puck battles around there and things like that. So that's what we're looking for with these units.
It's something that we've discussed this past week.
Yeah.
So it can't get any worse.
No, it can't.
I believe I screamed about this on Friday. Maybe he listens to the show.
They can't even carry it in cleanly.
No.
Their zone entries are just... Well, didn't you tweet, like, just give me one hard rim?
Hard dump in one time.
What would you say?
They do the...
You do here.
They do the play over the boards. It's like over to the sideboards to Tavares all the time on the entry.
And then he's stuck in mud, stationary
at the blue line.
Yeah.
And it's just like he's... Then all of a sudden you're making maybe the worst passer on the team make a decision and pass.
With his feet not moving. It's not his fault he's not skating.
No.
It's at a spot where he's...
And it's like...
Flat-footed.
Let William Nylander carry the puck in. Let Marner carry the puck in. Like, why are you holding it up at the line? Use some momentum. Drives me... Like, if you're going to do that drop back, the whole point of that is to pick up momentum. Then why do you stop once you get to the line? Like, it feels like they're trying 14 different things at once and none of it's working.
If you're Mark Savard, pretty early in your time here, your ideas are blown up, right? Like, they've already said... The thing you wanted to do is not working. So that's a pretty early on slap in the wrist from the rest of the staff, I would say.
Listen, he was brought in for this. Yeah. Was he not? Like, that's it. He's got one reputation. Power play guy.
I guess so. We have a Berube on why Riley's back on power play one.
That was from, why they put him back out there on Saturday night for power play one. So that's clip three, please.
Just to see if something could happen, we had the 5-on-3. I mean, there was two empty nets, and we just don't put them in. I mean, but it'll come. I'm confident in this team, and they're gonna get it going. They'll get it going. The power play.
So something changed between Saturday night, where he was confident, and then to Monday morning at practice when they've changed it all up. So just two empty nets. Yeah.
There's not a world where if you don't fix this that you can win or be successful without a decent power play.
No.
There's just not in today's game. And 5-on-5's tough for them too.
They're not producing a 5-on-5 right? either. Their offense is lagging. Matthews has 2 5-on-5 goals so far this year, which, he's still creating the highest expected goals of that situation, but 2 in 9 games for a guy who had 70 goals last year, one short, 69 goals, you had 38 even strength goals last year.
I would have probably, before I maybe even went to this two balance thing, I maybe would have taken Tavares off and just put Knies on just to let that breathe for a little while.
Yeah.
Hey, Knies is like kind of the lone bright spot. I shouldn't say lone. Obviously, Marner was great the other night, the goaltender. But Knies is like, have you been pleasantly surprised?
Been great.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
He's kind of found another
something. He's just growing up, and he's physically turning into a man right in front of our eyes. And it's still, trust me, it's still difficult to carry that weight on a team that's supposed to contend for the Stanley Cup on his shoulders. As a first liner still, in a perfect world, you like to bring him along a little slower, but it's not like he's buckling. So really, really impressed with his season so far.
Yeah, I'll give credit to Jonas Siegel here. Matthew Knies shots per game are up a full shot per game from 1.44 to 2.44 per game. I mean, that makes a difference. Grab another 80 shots over a year, you're going to score another... whatever that is, 10 times or so.
We consistently talk about guys not getting to the middle of the ice, and he's exclusively in the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
Like, the goal he scores on Saturday night was eerily similar. I think it was the same net to the one he scored in overtime in Game 5 in Boston last year in the first round, where he's just going to the front of the net, picks the puck off. Was it Matthews that takes it to the net, and then it ends up on his stick, shoots it in?
Yeah, he's in that part of the ice.
Yeah, he's always there. So, but go back to your original point there, Kipper, that you made. That's the right one. That if you're going to, quote-unquote, fix the power play, like, just try it without Tavares. But
the Tavares thing is getting tough because he's down to 16 and a half minutes per game.
But I think they're probably cognizant of the amount that's been taken away from him this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to give him a buddy to go down to the second unit with in Willie. Right? Like, if you just take him off of there after stripping him of the captaincy, playing him 4 minutes less a night or 3 minutes less a night, it's a lot to pile on a guy.
And we're nervous about hurting feelings?
I mean, obviously.
Is that what you're telling me?
That might be my pet peeve.
Right?
I don't know if they are or not, but it would seem that the way...
I agree that they're sensitive to it for sure.
wouldn't they not think about that at all? Is it an organization?
The answer is yes. And
okay.
That I find that disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's any chance over the course of this year that they say this just isn't working?
Yes.
And approach him?
Yes.
Because it's he's clearly not a Berube guy so far. Like I said, his minutes are down. He's skating slower, shooting it not as hard, generating less.
Well, the Berube guys are the start. Like, Matthews and Marner just play all the time.
Yeah.
Right? And Willie to a lesser extent, and then whoever else makes up the things. But I would argue that it's even worse Team A and Team B than it's ever been right now. Like, just how much they're playing. Think about it. Like, the defense is much better and it's much more spread out, but the forwards, it's never been more Team A, Team B to me.
Well, the vision, of course, including the success that they had really early, was there was some depth there, right? Either yep. Max or McMahon.
Holmberg
had it going there for a while.
They had Lorenz.
Exactly. Yeah, and then the fourth line.
Quiet.
Looked like Matt Sundin on the second night of the year and hasn't had a contribution.
I haven't been down on Ryan Reeves either. Like, that guy in that fourth line at times Saturday night, they were in the offensive zone.
Hard, yeah.
They found pucks. They kept things alive. Reeves got the puck back to the point a few times and went to the net.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Reeves is the least of anybody's worries right now.
No, they just need to, you know, chip in one here or there because they have the odd night where they get scored on. You know, they got to balance that out a little bit. But speaking of those sort of guys, Nick Robertson's coming out tonight. It's a game.
If he's not producing, it's like next man up.
Yeah.
And you can only say he's working really hard and he's trying his best.
I think I can.
That
can only go so far.
The coach clipped 10 on Nick Robertson and why he's being scratched tonight.
He's been fine. Like, I think Nicky's worked extremely hard. He's obviously hadn't had much puck luck and, just missed shots and things like that. But, he's done a lot of good things. It's just, with Winnipeg tonight, it's a pretty big team. You know, and he wanted some size in the lineup tonight.
Oh, that doesn't work for Nicky come
playoffs. That's everything. That's it. Nick Robertson hears that. Trade me, right?
and then hang up.
And then hang up.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. Because clearly, if you can't play him against bigger teams, is in the coach's mind, that's not going to go well when it's Boston
that
in round one.
The ultimate kiss of death for any player to hear.
That was actually
you're
a really
just
bleak quote.
Not big enough
to play against this team tonight.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that Jets third line, it's one of the best lines in the league, right? Appleton, Lowry, and Niederreiter. And
I think they're 7-0 in terms of goals for and against or something in their minutes.
Where does he match up against that? He's probably going to be playing on the third line. Like, Berube's probably watching the tape of them. He's
tonight
like, this guy's going to get
eaten up.
Domi
Holmberg, is that right? Which
not great either.
Down the middle stuff for me. Should we take a break?
Yeah, take a quick break. And then
we'll take a quick break here and plenty more, including Jake, not our Jake. Jake McCabe with a brand new contract. We'll talk about that more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition. Today, the Toronto Maple Leafs officially re-upped Jake McCabe on a 5-year extension with an average annual value of $4.51 million. We were talking about this extension weeks ago.
Yep.
I figured his marketplace was around $5 million on an open market.
Mm-hmm.
So where are you on 4.51?
I love it. I love this contract. I think it's great. I think, like you mentioned, on the open market, he probably gets more money, signs it nice and early, so you don't have to have that sort of headache. And I just think, you know, we talked about all the things the Leafs don't have. McCabe is all of those things. He is a guy with competitiveness and bite whose wires can cross, who kills penalties and runs into people. I also think he skates really well, and he has more offensive upside. He scored 8 times last year. I really like McCabe. I'm comfortable with whatever Perry's on. 4.5, nothing but good things to say.
What the coach says is exactly how I feel. Clip 12, please, Eric.
I think it's great. He's a team first guy, you know, hard defender, hard to play against. You know, he's the type of D-man you want in your hockey team.
Yeah, exactly how I feel. Like, he's just, I don't know, for $4.5 million, I don't know. He's playing 20 minutes a night for them.
Yeah, like everyone else, I would prefer it wasn't 5 years long.
Well, yeah, but
to get him to not go UFA, it's kind of what you do.
At this point, do you think Brendan Shanahan or Brad Tree living care whether it's 4 or 5?
Ain't affecting them, is it? They're either winning or they ain't here.
Exactly.
Guess what? How about you?
Guess what, boys? Ain't going to affect us either.
If we're doing this show and he's up for another deal, it would be a miracle.
I think he did them a huge favor.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, again, some guys are willing to do it. Some guys aren't. Yeah. But he wants to be here. First of all, he wants to be here. And that's, it's hard to go out there now. And if he leaves and signs, gets another $500,000 more, mm-hmm. the bigger question that the Leafs had was like, okay, who do we get to replace him?
Right. Well, that's it. You're going to go to UFA with now, you know, whatever his $4.5 million. TJ Brody, when he came to the Leafs, whatever it was, 5 years ago, his contract was $5 million per year times 4 years. He'd have been 31 or something, you know, somewhere around that. That's the type of, like, who's that? Who's going to sign that deal now? Ekblad's not that. He's going to be way more money. I just can't think of another defender who's going to be UFA who you would replace him with. So, likes Toronto and wants to be here, willing to do it. I understand that this makes them a little bit old on the back end. Riley, Ekman Larson, Tanev all here for the next foreseeable future. But I don't think that's a good enough reason to not keep a good defenseman at a good price. So you may have to figure something out eventually, but
I would hope there's a clause in his new contract that says he will stop doing between the legs things below his own red line. Because he did it against Tampa. No, not against Tampa, against the Blues. And he did it again against the Bruins on Saturday night where he tried to do it between the legs, back pass. Yeah. Like, don't do that. Yeah. Stop that.
So we've exhausted the forwards in terms of the big line compared to everywhere else. But where are we now knowing that, to your point, Riley, OEL, McCabe, and Tanev are your guys for the next 3 years? Mm-hmm. Like, that's it, right? You're basically locked into those guys. Is that a blue line? Are those four guys ready to lead right now to a Stanley Cup between now and 2 or 3 years from now?
Stanley Cup. How about the third round, Kippy?
Okay, then
yeah, I think higher of that group than I think you do. But
I'm just asking, are you comfortable with those four guys now getting you to the Stanley Cup? Because I look at it and I go, not good enough.
Yeah, I agree with you that you look at, they don't have a number one D. They don't have a guy where you're like, that's the guy.
Game changer.
You don't have Makar. You don't have Hedman. You don't have Quinn Hughes. You don't have...
But they haven't had one of those since Boreas Salming.
Right.
They've literally never had one in my entire life.
Yeah, and they've literally never won since 1967.
Yeah, I know.
That literally might be related.
My dad, I think, was...
So, I get, like, for me, I like McCabe, too. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I wouldn't have signed him at 4.5 because I like what he brings. But on a Stanley Cup team, is McCabe more of a third-pair guy or a top-four guy?
No, I think he's not even close to a third-pair defenseman.
Okay.
For me. Yep. Not even close. He's much closer to a first-pair than a second-pair... than a third pair guy for me.
Like, he could play with a Makar, or he could play with...
I think so, yeah. I do. Listen, I'm really high on Jake McCabe. Maybe I'm not in the... I like the way he plays, and I think he's one of those guys who seems to be getting better as he calms down and matures a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he can be a little squirrely at times.
If I'm looking at the Colorado Avalanche you mentioned there, like, would he be better than Josh Manson or Samuel Girard?
I mean... totally different than Samuel Girard, right?
But, in the same conversation,
yeah.
Like, is like in that group. Like, I think you could play in that group.
Manson's 4.5.
Yeah,
4.5.
He's up there. I look at
okay.
Yeah. So, but I, you know, it's almost like we take it out on the guys who are here when it's their deals are fine. It's just they need
4 years, four and a half.
Yeah. You need a number one guy.
Oh my gosh. But like, you can't get one now.
Right.
Where are you going to fit him in unless you move the four?
Well, yeah. So after this year, there's no Marner, no Tavares, and the cap goes up. So suddenly there's 21 million in players. Or 22 million in players plus the cap up, you're at 27 million.
So by next year, they'll get their number one D and they can really contend for a Stanley Cup.
I don't know. I just said, you don't get a number one D. You don't go to the number one D store and buy one.
You know where you get them? You draft them. And then you wait 7 years and then they turn into a number one guy. And they never have gotten a good draft pick with a defenseman other than Morgan Riley.
Here comes Topi Niemelä.
It's like Topi or Roni or one of those guys. It's like, you know, Liljegren was supposed to be their guy. Sandin was supposed to be the guy.
But neither were ever going to be that guy.
But I mean, I was sold a bill of goods. I was told they were both pretty good.
So can you...
Steals even.
Can you get more flashes of Morgan Riley with the go-ahead goal Saturday night?
Hammered it.
Pretty good goal.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
How about a few
really
more
good
of those?
D-man. But yeah, a few more of those would be great. I'd like to see him, commit to offense a little bit more. But
this is Craig Berube's dilemma. It's like, isn't it defense first?
Yeah.
With all due respect to Austin Matthews' giveaway, is that two sneezes now in the last week on our show, Sammy? Is it?
Yes. Just let her buck into the mic.
It was a sneeze. No one would have seen it unless they're watching. It would have been fine. I turned my mic off. I turned away, and you had to just sewer me. Anyway.
Maybe I'm just a little jealous. Maybe I want to break my streak of sneezing on air in 25 years.
Do you look up into those lights? Nothing?
No, nothing. Nothing. Oh, okay. Right. With all due respect to Austin Matthews' giveaway,
yes.
I'm not sure if you saw Morgan Riley on the play slide about 40 feet. He looked like he was on a carpet at Wonderland. He slid 40 feet to try to get back into the play and actually completely took him out of the play for the second or third opportunity in front of the net because Stolarz made an unbelievable save. Now, if Morgan stays on his feet, there's a very good chance that maybe Marchand doesn't get a second or third opportunity in front of the net. Mm-hmm. And a guy like Morgan has at $7.5 million needs to be that guy.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen it yet this season.
No, we haven't. He is another one of those guys that seems to be struggling to figure out which guy does the coach want me to be. Everyone is playing physical and straight lines and, you know, Morgan's never going to be different than the player he is. You know, he's not a physical defender. He's a good defender, but he backs off, and I don't know. I like the offensive side of his game. I don't think he's ever going to defend with ferocity.
I know we're not supposed to do 3-on-3 takes because it's not real hockey, but there's something that drove me crazy watching that game was why didn't Matthews and Marner come off on that offensive zone draw after they'd already been out there
I'll tell you what bothered me.
The world will be like, if those guys change, I know they want to keep their guys out there. It's, you know, they're trying to win the game. They've had good chances, but they've been out there already for a while. It's like, pull them off, get somebody else out there, and then maybe get it for the last. It was too long. And then Matthew's tired brain, defending for a minute and a half, throws a pizza up the middle, and you lose the game.
We're team A.
I know.
We get to stay out there as long as we want.
Mr. Big Boy Accountability comes in here. Pull them off. They've been out there for a minute.
I'll tell you what my problem is.
Throw me nuts.
My problem
change
is that when they first get on the ice and they first get the puck, they go, ooh, it's 3-on-3 fun time. We can just have it. Rather than skating.
I know.
Skate on offense.
3-on-3
skate.
Sucks.
Make the D, move their feet, make them turn.
Yeah.
If you're not moving fast, they stay in front of you and nothing opens up. So everyone just has this 3-on-3 basketball thing where they pass it around.
And there's still some guys that could extend their shift a little bit and still have some juice left in them. Austin's not one of them.
No.
When that guy hits his wall,
Willie is.
He's done.
Yeah, but
he's done.
He's been out there for 2.5 minutes because that stupid offense. Pull him off.
Brad, you have no one else who can play. He could have taken a couple strides and created some separation, tired or not.
Right,
Marner's going up to the bench, and I don't. Riley's all. It's just like Matthews. That was gross.
But like I said, tired brain decision. where you've been out there defending 3-on-3, you're not thinking, you just throw one up the middle and it ends up in your net.
Let's see what the coach had to say.
Oh, yeah?
Clip four on what happened.
There is someone singing in the back of this. Okay. I don't know, someone down the hall. He says something good here, but there's someone singing.
All right.
So get ready for that when you listen to this clip.
All right.
I mean, I thought that we controlled it. You know, we had the puck pretty much, and it was a tough play on Austin. Like, we got to support him a little bit better in that play, you know. Like, yeah, we just kind of, we left him alone there, and it just, it was a mistake, you know, by everybody out there. And, you know, but, you know, we had some good, two good looks in overtime, so. I mean, it's important. The points are important, right? So, you know, we want to be a good overtime team. We want to be a good 3-on-3 team because they're crucial points.
We got to support them a little better. Yeah.
Great play, Austin.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, to your point, like, how about, like, don't stay out there that long.
And how about if you don't have support, don't blindly throw it up the middle.
Oh, yeah, he's like
zone.
I threw it up, and then I saw no one was there. Have a look.
Listen, again. Like, it's just not Morgan that could have got back into the play quicker. Like, Austin could have jumped in there.
Oh, yeah.
If
tired.
Stolarz made a save that we should have been talking about for 3 weeks, right?
God, he was
It kidding. Wasn't, it was, he had time still. Matthews also had time to come back, but guess what? He was cooked.
Yeah.
He was done. He was fried because of the length of the shift.
Yeah.
But that's how about instead of supporting him a little better, how about like a second effort to get back in the play after your goalie's made it two spectacular saves.
Yeah.
And it was the third effort that actually went in.
So he was surprised that the save was made. Didn't have any juice left.
That's exactly what he thought it was in.
Right. But that's the, I think the accountability that you're looking for now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what Austin had to say about it, but it's
Not much.
Yeah,
not much. Like, I put it in there for.
I don't know what the Leafs' record is in Winnipeg or how many goals Austin's had in Winnipeg, but I always have a feeling like it's good. It's really good.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, Hellebuck's pretty good.
Would it not be just like the Leafs to win tonight?
Oh my God! I totally think they're winning tonight.
Well, especially because it's on Amazon and the Leafs. Last week on Amazon, played the best game of the Matthews Marner era ever on Amazon. So tonight, and then everybody will be like, oh, they can't have it on Sportsnet anymore because it was on Amazon. They only went on it, blah, 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 the broadcast, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I can't wait. Two or three goals.
Yeah.
I know Patrick Liney's not there anymore, which still is regarded as one of the best nights.
One of the best regular season games ever.
Doing hat tricks, was it?
Oh, yeah.
I actually. Smashed my remote that night.
Oh, the Liney OT win.
Yeah, I came home from watching the Jays lose in the ALCS to the Cleveland then Indians, and I came home to catch the second period on of that game, and they were up. I was cruising. I was having a good time. Liney scored. I broke my remote.
That's reasonable. Like, good reaction.
Thank you. Thank you.
I know this is only, what, the 10th game, but, like, is it more important to what you see optically than it is the actual score, or is this just about finding a way to get 2 points?
No, if they get filled in tonight and sneak out some stupid 2-1 win, we're killing them tomorrow. Like, I would like to see. I think this is the crux of our conversation today that I think I would take away is that they're in an identity crisis, that the coach has a way that he wants them to play. They have shown they can play that way and have success, but they don't want to play that way.
In 23 career games against Winnipeg Jets, he has 14 goals, 17 assists for 31 points.
More assists than goals.
The Dishon Magician.
And in 35 games against Montreal Canadiens, he has 27 goals. So.
And how many assists?
18.
Negative.
And I think his highest output, I mean, against the Sens, he just kills the Sens, too. Anyways, we're just going through. Guess what? He scores a lot against everybody because he's on pace
Winnipeg's
to have more goals
coming off
than
a road trip, too, are they not?
Yeah. First game back.
Can they catch him a little vulnerable? Can they catch him a little not ready to come back home and continue the streak, or do you think they smell a record here?
I mean, in all the years we've been doing this show, how many times have the Leafs lost three straight, or even four straight?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't remember them losing.
That's the one thing about Sheldon's teams.
They snap back
pretty
quick.
They do have a way to end nights like we've seen this past week.
I expect them to win tonight.
All right. Got some money on that one?
I don't know why. I think I will.
Oh, listen, I think it would be totally the Leafs style value. To come back.
Within their character.
They're minus 115.
And then our...
150?
Hey. Minus 115.
Then Sammy's back all the way.
Still back?
No.
Hey.
Okay. I'm... Last year game.
I'm even keel, baby.
No. They shook me.
All right. We're just warming up here as we get into our national hour. Sean Reynolds, Sportsnet reporter in Winnipeg, will join us to help tee us up. Don't go away.